With the 36th pick in the 2016 NFL Draft, the Jacksonville Jaguars select Miles Jack, linebacker, UCLA.
That is an awesome pick. I mean, he's a draftable tailback. He's a top five pick. All the rumors were Jacksonville in the first round, and they came back, traded up, got him in the second.
I've seen the guy line up number one receivers. I've seen him cover tight ends. I've seen him play running back. I've seen him flat back offensive guard. So he's got a rare combination and skill set that we just felt like it was time to pull the trigger. The risk was worth the reward.
This is honestly the place I wanted to be at. I was telling everybody, you know, before the draft, like, if I could choose a place to come, it would be Jacksonville, just with the, really just starting with the head man, Gus Bradley. He's an honorable man. Me and him connected really quick. I felt like, you know, I could trust him in everything, and just where the program is heading, I feel like it was a great place to be a part of.
1010 XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, and Jeff Lagerman.
Come on, somebody.
All right, good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Check the tape Tuesday around these parts. Not as fun when you don't win the game. You can look at all those mistakes when you win and go, yeah, but so what? Scoreboard. It's like that. But the Titans had the scoreboard in week two. Jaguars fall to 1-1. Good morning, Tony.
Good morning.
Good morning, Jeff.
Good morning, Mike. Good morning, Tony.
How you doing, bud? How's everything good?
I'm doing good, yeah. And even though the Jaguars didn't win, I thought that was one heck of a football game. And back and forth, and offense kept answering. So there were a lot of positives, even though that you got to get the negatives corrected.
Yeah, we ran a poll yesterday asking people about their confidence level when they got the ball back with 1:36 to play, no timeouts. How confident were you that they'd at least tie the game? And over 85% said that they thought it was better than 50-50 or even stronger than that. So it just shows you how, you know, this team's offense in the first couple weeks, Jeff, has people believing and opening up their eyes, certainly compared to, you know, recent years in terms of quarterback play. People trust Gardner Minshew.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, yeah, and I was in that category of greater than 50% chance of this team going down and winning it. I mean, I thought that they were going to do it. And the offense just seems to be running real efficient. They've been able to answer. The quarterback has been, wow. I mean, the expectations for him this year were to get a little bit better, and I think he's exceeded my expectations, certainly. And the number of players that they're getting plays from offensively, I mean, across the board. I mean, everybody in the wide receiving group seems to be contributing in a pretty good way. I'd like to see a little bit more out of Colin Johnson, but the rest of them, with the exception of the one that's been inactive both games, D.D. Westbrook, everybody else has been good. The tight ends have all contributed. The running backs are all contributing, except for anybody behind Chris Thompson and James Robinson. I mean, so it's impressive, and I give a lot of credit. I mean, Jay Gruden and his offensive staff, because he can't do it alone. What a tremendous job, because, I mean, this was a year in which they didn't have any of the offseason stuff. I mean, this is a completely new system, and give credit to the coaches, give credit especially to the quarterback for essentially, you know, learning the system, because, you know, for positional groups, it's not that hard to learn a system. But for a quarterback where you're trying to learn everybody, I mean, that's extremely difficult. And so Minshew obviously has been able to do that before at the collegiate level. And give him a lot of credit, because right now he seems to be operating at a pretty high level, even though there's another level that he can get to without too much difficulty.
Yeah, Jeff, Mike and I talked about the 2nd-and-1 decision to run the play and not spike the ball. A lot of fans were questioning it. I know Mike and I fell on the side of just run the play. It did feel like you maybe had Tennessee a little bit in scramble mode there late in the game, and you'd rather spike it on first down than you would on 2nd-and-1. How did you feel about the decision to just go forward there on offense?
I could go either way with that, you know. If you're going to go, make a play, you know. So, I mean, for me, that wasn't that big of a deal. I think the disappointing thing was that Minshew on that play, and you're talking about the interception pretty much, right?
Yes.
Where we get the batted ball, pops up in the air, and Harold Landry ends up making the interception. And just want to clarify that, because, I mean, some people may not realize that's a play that we're talking about. And Minshew kind of double clutches the throw. And to be honest with you, I don't really know if it's there anyway. And so was it a wise decision to make that throw? Maybe not. But I think that that's one thing. I think that's a challenge of with Minshew, and that with his stature, and he's got to find a way to move around a little bit to find an opening, because he kind of double clutches it. And when he double clutches it, he kind of alerts the offensive line or the defensive lineman that, hey, here it comes. And so they all kind of steady their feet, and then they're essentially waiting and wanting to react to get their hands up in the air. So you like to have a quarterback, hey, look, he's just sitting there, and all of a sudden he just pulls the trigger, and the defensive line doesn't have that type of a reaction.
Logs, watching the film, who was the player you thought impressed you the most this week?
Chris Conley. I would put him right near the top, and you probably go, wow, you probably might be a little bit surprised by that. But, man, he was consistent. He made some tough catches. And what impresses me about Chris is that he's willing to dig people out in the running game. When I say dig people out, he's willing to insert himself down in the box and dig a safety out, because in the running game, a lot of times you're required to do that. And, for example, there was a third and one late in the game, and I don't remember exactly which drive it was at, but he literally is in the slot, and he goes down, and he ends up digging the safety out, and just doesn't just dig him out. I mean, he pancakes Kenny Vaccaro, and James Robinson gets a really nice gain on a third and one situation. And so without that block by Chris Conley, that play doesn't happen. And then the catch on the boundary where the ball was kind of low and outside, and he goes down and makes a really nice catch. He's just so consistent. He's dependable. He does a great job in blocking. And there's no one – it doesn't surprise me that he's wearing a C on his chest watching how all aspects of his game contribute to the offensive production.
On the other end of that, Jeff, who was maybe the most disappointing player this week?
I don't know if there was anybody that was really disappointing. I mean, if you're talking about the offensive side of the ball, if you want to talk about the defensive side of the ball, I mean, I think there's a couple guys that I expected more out of. I expected more out of Josh Allen. And I'm just wondering.
Losing me? All right, we'll get him back here. I'm wondering what Jeff's wondering. I'm sure all of you are as well. So let's hold that thought. When it comes to Josh Allen, I'm just wondering, ...
Yeah.
We got him. All right. Logs, you left us on a cliffhanger there. You said, when it comes to Josh Allen, I'm just wondering. And then we were left
sorry
to
about
wonder
that.
What you were wondering. So
sorry about that. I was just kind of wondering because, you know, last week, you know, he had the cramps and he came out of the game. And then he was on the injury report for a calf. And then if you go, and I was kind of surprised at this because during the game, you know, you can't sit there and count and watch some one person in particular, because you have to watch the whole field. So you're not watching to see if Josh Allen is on the field for every play. But then when you go back and you watch the film and you go, wow, you know, there was a lot of times in this ball game that he wasn't out there. And they had, whether it be Avery Jones playing defensive end with Adam Gotsis, or they had Smoot and Gotsis, or whoever. But there was a, you know, and look, and I understand that, you know, you've got to be able to pace a guy, you know, like Josh Allen, because the week before he ended up with cramps. But, you know, and during the game, I think we made a couple comments that, you know, we're surprised we haven't called his name much. You know, so I just wonder, is that calf, you know, was he completely healthy? He had a couple good plays in the game where he flashed, but out of Josh Allen, you just expect more. And so, and also I think Adam Gotsis, he's got to be better for this football team. You know, he's getting pushed around a little bit in the running game. He's gotten pancaked again. It's kind of 2 weeks in a row that he's gotten pancaked. I thought Taven Bryan played pretty well. Andrew Wingard, I think, wasn't very good, to be honest with you, because I think his level of play wasn't up to the level of Jared Wilson. And when you have a guy that goes down and he gets hurt, you know, the old coaches use that quote all the time, next man up. Well, it's next man up, and that guy has to be able to maintain some level of play close to what the starter had. And I didn't think that Andrew Wingard had that level up to Jared Wilson. And we didn't make much of it, you know, the injury to Jared Wilson. You know, Jared Wilson's kind of that forgotten player on the defense, and he really shouldn't be. I mean, we're talking about a guy who I think, what, out of the National Football League last year, he's only one of five guys that played every snap. And so sometimes a guy like that that's not flashy, that doesn't make big plays, you kind of maybe take him for granted. Well, I think this week, I think, showcased that, you know, you can't do that. You can't take a guy like him for granted, because I think the level of play, I think it dropped a little bit at that position with his absence.
All right, we will continue to look back at the Jaguars' first loss of the season, 33-30 to the Tennessee Titans, with Jeff Loggeman on a Check the Tape Tuesday. Also look ahead to a short week, the Thursday night opponent coming in, the Miami Dolphins here. Mark Brunell going to join us courtesy of Armor Guard Exteriors. That's coming up at the top of the 11 o'clock hour. Your calls, comments, questions, all welcomed on Twitter at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Logs56, that's LOGS56, and at IME to the T at 641-1010 on the phone lines or on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. Also today, we've got a pair of tickets to give away a little bit later on to the Thursday night game, courtesy of Mayor Lenny Curry and his administration, to promote the Jags theme of Duval Together. So we'll have that for you a little bit later on in the program. You know how to send your questions and inquiries along to Jeff Loggeman. We'll pass those along to him and get his view of the Jaguars' loss after watching the film this week. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Jeff Loggeman, and E.T. off and rolling on a Check the Tape Tuesday. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Linda, we got good news last night. Obviously, you know, we didn't know if it was going to be serious or not. So we got good news on it. Now it's just going to be, you know, day by day. He's not going to go on IR. So, you know, now we just got to see how we'd be on a short week.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, good news on Brandon Leonard for the Jacksonville Jaguars. Hopefully a speedy return to the lineup. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here at 1010XL World Headquarters. Jeff Loggeman joining us from his remote Logs Cave. I don't know what you call it. What do you call it? Do you have a name for your broadcast area at home? Just or is it just?
I mean, you can call it whatever you want. I mean, it's a gun room too.
Logs Loft.
The loft. The tree stand.
Yeah, I mean, you know, in fact, I'm sure there will be a Monday mic. It might be from a tree stand.
All right.
For Tuesday.
Yeah, Tuesday. Yeah, I knew what you meant.
Yeah.
It's all good. Before we get into this, Logs, I want to do a couple of things here for the audience out there. We will be giving away, as I mentioned, a pair of tickets, East Club seats, by the way, to the Jags-Dolphins this Thursday to help celebrate Duval Together, courtesy of Mayor Curry and his administration. And right now, though, we got a pair of tickets. If you want to go this weekend, if you're a motocross fan, the 2020 Lucas Oil Pro Motocross Championship is coming up this Saturday at the WW Ranch off of 301. And we got a pair of tickets for you right now. If that interests you, be the fourth caller at 641-1010, and Emmanuel will give you the info on how you can get those tickets in your hot little hands. And we're going to have those tickets to give away all week long. So, again, that's the 2020 Lucas Oil Pro Motocross Championship coming up this Saturday at the WW Ranch off 301. So if you're looking for something to do this weekend, call ET right now at 641-1010. He'll take the fourth caller and set you up with those tickets. Logs, I had some people asking about the quality of play, Linder to Shatley. How well was Linder playing prior to getting hurt? How well did Shatley play when he came in? And was there a noticeable difference in the two at all?
Well, I think it's a great question. I think Linder's their best offensive lineman right now. And as far as consistency, level of play, you know, he's just been really consistent for the football team for the last couple of years. So, even though you have a really good backup in Tyler Shatley, you're still missing something. I mean, you're missing the level of play that Linder can give you. Obviously, he's a starter for the reason. And then also, now that you have Shatley in the lineup, well, what happens if you get another injury? You know, so I think that concerns me a little bit, because your next guy up really is Ben Bartsch, and I'm talking about the guard positions. If there happens to be an injury maybe with Tyler Shatley, they'll probably make the switch to A.J. Ken and go to center and then bring in Ben Bartsch. But, you know, Ben Bartsch, I don't know if he's quite ready to play yet. You know, he's had some feet issues, his hands weren't quite clean yet for the NFL level. And remember, he comes from a Division III school. He played left tackle in college. So that would be a big step up for Ben Bart. So clearly, you know, Shatley is not a lender. But most importantly, you're missing the depth.
Yeah, no doubt. And look, we talked all offseason about how important the season was going to be for Cam Robinson there at left tackle. Didn't get all the on-field work that you would typically get in an NFL offseason, but it is a contract year for him. How has he looked through 2 weeks?
I thought he's gotten better. You know, Tony, I think he's gotten better. And then, you know, I've talked to you guys many times about that bad habit sometimes that he has to where he kind of kicks his left foot, you know, as a left tackle, when the left tackle is kicking and getting whipped, they have to continue to stay at a certain angle. And the one thing I think that has been a weakness with Cam is that sometimes he changes that angle. That left foot will swing backwards sometimes. And when he does, it's what we call opening the gate. Essentially, you're rounding the corner for a pass rusher. And he's gotten better with that. But every now and again, you'll see that he kind of, I don't want to say regresses, but that trait pops back up every now and again. But he's gotten better, you know, and he's continuing to fight. He is strong in the running game. And so, I mean, from my eyes, I'm happy because he's getting better. And that's all you can ask is for somebody to get better.
All right, Jeff Logman's here. If you want to get in, 641-1010 is one of the easy ways to do it. In the meantime, we'll check what some of the questions are coming in for you, Logs. This one from Jonathan in St. Augustine said, I really like James Robinson's agility and ability to make people miss. In your opinion, should the Jaguars get him more involved in the screen game and get him out in the open, or should they reserve that for other guys?
Well, they tried. I mean, there's been a couple times where the Jaguars have tried to get the screen game set up, and the opponent has played it like you want the Jaguars defense to play the screen game, you know? So yeah, they're going to get creative with James Robinson, but at the same token, you also have a really good back in Chris Thompson. So, and you know, the screen game is more prominent on a third down situation. And that's kind of Chris Thompson's niche. And so will you still be able to throw some of that to James Robinson? Absolutely. He's a great back. He's got great vision, and most importantly, he's got great speed. The long run that he had, we're actually going to do this because of Jaguars All Access this week. Our TV show is airing on Wednesday night because obviously we have a Thursday night game, so we're moving that to Wednesday night. And I'm actually doing James Robinson on the board, and what impresses me so much, there was one particular play that he had. And I think it was the 17-yard touchdown run or the 40-yard touchdown run, whichever one, because those are the two plays that I'm doing. He actually had two unblocked defenders coming into the hole. I mean, usually when you've got two unblocked defenders coming into the hole, I mean, as a running back, I mean, the play's over. He's going to get tackled. But he actually cuts it back. And when he cuts it back, he actually makes both of these guys miss. I mean, and so you're like, wow, I mean, what a great run. Because most running backs, when you've got two unblocked defenders, and I think it was a 17-yard touchdown run, and it was Jaron Brown and Kenny Vaccaro, the two unblocked guys. And if you guys get a chance, go back and watch it. Because they were pulling Norwell around, and Norwell gets kind of caught up in the traffic, and Norwell's supposed to be getting Jaron Brown. And there's no blocker for Vaccaro. So, I mean, you kind of got to let the running back beat him if he can get up to that level. But Vaccaro and Jaron Brown are coming downhill, and all of a sudden he cuts it back to the inside. And just, I mean, great vision. And it helped a little bit, too, that Jawan Taylor did a phenomenal job of essentially him and Tyler Eifert collapsed that whole side all the way down to where the ball was previously at and maybe a little bit farther. But, I mean, just there's a lot of running backs that don't do that. You know, they just can't. They don't have it in their ability. So that's been impressive watching James Robinson.
Logs, completely different direction here. How does Jonnu Smith get that wide open on the first play of the game?
Look, you're so fired up about stopping Derrick Henry, you know, and you're wired in, and it was a great play design. I mean, it was a late leak, you know. It essentially, you run the play action, and Jonnu Smith is at the point of attack. It looked like the Jaguars are playing man. And Leon Jacobs is maybe the guy in man coverage. I'm not positive on that, but that's what it looks like it is. And then all of a sudden, Leon Jacobs gets blocked by another guy. And so he's fighting to get to Derrick Henry. And all of a sudden, then he realizes it's a pass. Well, he's already been attacking the line of scrimmage because, I mean, the Titans did a great job of selling it. Jonnu Smith leaks out late, and then all of a sudden, great play. I mean, so on that one, you got to give the Titans credit for that one. I mean, that's that was first of all, a great play design. And I'm sure write that play down, you know, because those are the type of plays that you see the team that had it successful against them, like the Jaguars. Jay Gruden probably made a note on that play and said, you know what, I'm going to do that play somewhere this season. So watch for the Jaguars to maybe have that play in their arsenal at some point this year.
Yeah, obviously going into the game, Jeff, I mean, we talk all week about Derrick Henry and the Jaguars have to find a way to stop Derrick Henry. Well, it looked like they had a pretty effective game plan against Derrick Henry, but unfortunately, I mean, the pass defense just wasn't there on Sunday.
Well, I mean, there's kind of two ways to look at it, Tony, and you said the pass defense wasn't there, and I think there's two ways to look at it from that perspective. One is that the pass rush wasn't there. The pass defense wasn't there as a whole, coverage and pass rush. But then the other way to look at that is Ryan Tannehill was really sharp. And I thought he was tremendous. I think there was two throws that he missed in that ball game. One of them was late to Adam Humphries that was on the drive in which they ended up kicking the field goal to go ahead. And that if he makes that completion, Adam Humphries, it becomes more of a chip shot field goal in that situation. And then he missed one early on. I can't remember exactly who it was to, but man, give him credit. You know, he has been playing some really good football for the Tennessee Titans. You know, that was his 100th career regular season game. And so you're talking about a guy that plays 100 games. He's got under his belt. He's playing as good as he's ever played. And for the Tennessee Titans, he's now 11-4 as their starter. So made a Pro Bowl last year. So, I mean, give credit where credit is due. He was on the money in that game.
Hey, Jeff, is Todd Walsh sending the blitz more this year? And regardless of whether he is or not, does he need to do more of it to help generate a pass rush, in your opinion?
Well, I don't know what the numbers are exactly, Mike, but I mean, just from the eye test, I would say yes. And I think he has to. I mean, because, you know, they can't, the days of, okay, we're going to line up and we're going to rush four and we're going to play vanilla in coverage because our pass rush is so good. I think those days are gone. And until you can find some competent pass rush from the inside, I mean, that's kind of what it has to be. You got to be a little creative. You know, I remember going way back when, and I was calling games for Fox, and Dave McGinnis was running the defense in Arizona, and he used to tell me, you know, because he didn't have a lot of really good pass rushers in Arizona at that time, and he would tell me, he said, look, Jeff, he says, we just don't have the horses. He says, so we're just going to have to trick it up. We're going to have to trick it up to create some pass rush. And I think that the Jaguars have some good young pass rushers because Josh Allen and Kalavon Chaisson, I think, are, and Kalavon being younger and unproven, and Josh is, you know, look, he's still young too, you know, but until you can develop some other pass rushers, I mean, you're just going to have to do some of that. You're going to have to do some of that tricking up.
Is there any explanation for why in the first two games they have just been driven down the field on immediately?
I mean, just not playing good defense, not taking care of responsibilities, you know, not being on point. I think the first game it was a little bit more, you know, we got to start playing game tempo. We're kind of in training camp tempo, Tony. But, I mean, this past game, I mean, you can't sit there and say that was a factor at all. You know, I mean, the Tennessee Titans did a great job. You hit that, you know, that big one to Jonnu, and the quarterback all of a sudden hits another guy on a great throw in the end zone in which you don't have any pass rush on that play. You know, so, I mean, that was good job by the Tennessee Titans. I don't think that was, you know, poor preparation or anything else. I think it was just, look, you got a Tennessee Titans team and you're so worried about Derrick Henry and they come up and they keep you off balance a little bit with the pass game. And then all of a sudden you're like, whoa, wait a minute. And all of a sudden you look up at the clock and you're down, you know, 7-0. And then, you know, the second drive, all of a sudden, you know, they five plays, you know, after an interception with, you know, some favorable field position, you know. So, you know, it's kind of hard to blame all that on the defense. You know, when you turn the ball over early and give a team great field position on the second possession. So, I mean, but they got to get better. I mean, you got to be better earlier in the ball game so you're not trying to climb back out of a hole, which you've had to do in two games.
All right, we'll continue along here with Jeff Logman. So submit your questions in all the various ways on Twitter. on the phone line at 641-1010 or the text line at the same number. Designed by Lifetime Enclosures. We'll come back. Look at a few more particulars on offense and defense. Mark Brunell going to join us at the top of the hour as well. Brought to you by Armor Guard Exteriors. It's a Check the Tape Tuesday. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Jeff Logman, and ET here with you. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Garner drops the throw. Fires. Middle of the field. That ball is caught for the touchdown. Tyler Eifert went up and got it, and the Jags are in the end zone after a 19-yard touchdown pass from Minshew to Tyler Eifert.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, Jeff Logman here with us on a Check the Tape Tuesday. Logs, Byron Leftwix on Twitter had the perfect suggestion for your at-home broadcast setup. It's Logs Cabin. That's pretty good. I mean,
I like that. Yeah,
honestly, I mean, how'd that one get past us? That seems pretty obvious now in hindsight, but that was well played. So I wanted to give him credit.
Hey,
so.
I'm a big fan of that syrup too. By the way,
oh, are you now? Okay, I'm not. Oh, yeah. I'm not a syrup guy whatsoever. If syrup touches the pancake, it will not be consumed by me.
You're crazy.
I love sweets. I just don't like. I don't like syrup.
Syrup could go all over the place.
I don't know about you, but give me a stack of about 5 or 6 pancakes covered all with Log Cabin syrup and give me a fried egg on top and maybe even a scoop of Cool Whip.
Come on, Logs. Let's go. Yes, sir.
Okay, cool. Look, just a little butter on the pancakes is fine. That's all I need. That's all I want. You know, to eat your own, man. You know, you eat your Log Cabin and I'll eat my my Land of Lakes. That's just how it's going to be. Logs, this one from Brock on Twitter. Why is Caleb Von Chason not on the field more? Are you seeing any negatives about him so far on the tape?
No, I'm not seeing any negatives about him. I think he's still kind of learning, getting comfortable. You know, we have to remember, too, with Caleb Von Chason, he was a stand-up outside linebacker at LSU, and he's making the switch to putting his hand in the ground with the Jaguars. So, I mean, that's a little bit of a transition. You know, you got different footwork, you've got different approaches, and obviously, it's a different system. So, you know, I think as he earns the right to be on the field more, he will be on the field more. And also, once they feel like that he's comfortable learning more than just playing one position, because essentially in training camp, he was learning one position, and that was defensive end. Well, if he eventually can learn maybe some other positions to be on the field more, maybe an outside linebacker, can he play maybe Sam? You know, so... but they have been pretty creative in finding ways. I mean, I don't know if people have noticed, but a few times they would take Caleb Von Chason and Josh Allen and line them up side by side, you know, and in some cases, both of them standing up being a pass rusher. So they're starting to get creative. But, you know, when you got a young player, you know, you can't come out of the gate without an all season of, you know, practices and mini camps and just expect him to be on the field for a ton of snaps when he's making the transition to an outside linebacker to defenseman. You know, this is going to be kind of a process with Caleb Von.
Jeff, let's talk about the other first-round pick. In week one, C.J. Henderson, by some standards, may have been the best corner in the league for a week. In week one, how did he play this week?
I thought he was okay. I mean, I didn't have really the impactful plays that he had week one, but I think the opportunity sometimes – has to present itself and for him to make those kind of plays. So, but I think a solid performance overall. You know, I think the issues really in the secondary was that one, they had to cover for a very long time. I think at times, you know, obviously with a new player or new starter in the lineup and Wingard and, you know, how much communication do you miss with a guy like him, you know, with Jared Wilson? You know, Josh Jones, all of a sudden, you know, he's a first-year player in this defense. All of a sudden, he's expected to make all the calls, or is Wingard doing that? You know, so a little different. DJ Hayden, I thought, played pretty well. And, you know, he made one – by the way, DJ Hayden made one play in particular. You know, you guys remember the Chris Thompson touchdown, I'm sure, mm-hmm. And it was a really, really cool play. And the defensive stop before that, you remember there was like a third and short stop.
Yep.
And DJ Hayden did an awesome job on that particular play. And I think he's one of the better nickels, and I hope he's okay because he came out of the game for, you know, he got his head knocked friendly fire. But on that particular third and short play, the Titans were in a three wide receiver set, but nonetheless, they're still running a toss sweep out of three wide receiver set. And DJ knifed into the backfield. He beat the block of the wide receiver who's trying to block down on him. I think it was Adam Humphries. And he gets up underneath and into the backfield, and then he takes out Taylor Lewan. Well, he creates a big train wreck. And because he creates this train wreck, now all of a sudden Joe Schobert, who Taylor Lewan was supposed to block, now Joe's running completely free. And then because Joe Schobert's running completely free, he actually overruns the stud running back Derrick Henry and makes him go back to the inside. Well, that gives a little extra time for Miles Jack to end up being there and making the play. And that play, actually, we're going to be looking at on Jags Wired on Wednesday night. But, I mean, what a tremendous play by DJ Hayden. You know, if you don't have that play, then all of a sudden you don't have the Chris Thompson, you know, touchdown play on the very next drive, which, you know, hey, look, that's the one that tied it up at 30.
No doubt. While we're talking about the secondary, Vegas Jags fan on Twitter asks, how has Trey Herndon been playing?
He's been pretty good. You know the one play in which Miles Jack was called for interference, which was a terrible call.
Yeah.
I mean, totally terrible call. If they called holding on Trey Herndon, it probably would have been legitimate on that play. You know, sometimes Trey can be a little bit aggressive, and I've heard, in fact, one of the coaches in the NFL this year in training camp, they were putting tennis balls in the defensive back's hands so they wouldn't hold. And Trey Herndon, sometimes you wish that he had a tennis ball in his hand, you know, because he has a tendency sometimes to be kind of clingy and grabby, you know. But, I mean, overall, he's been pretty good. The one thing I like about Trey is that, look, he's dependable, he's available, and he's going to fight you tooth and nail. Is he a high-end physical talent like a C.J. Henderson or Jalen Ramsey? Probably not, but – you know, I think with the hard work and the dedication that he has and dedication to his craft, I think he's a good player.
Talking about the cornerback position, and while Clay Brooks doesn't primarily play corner, he's primarily their return guy. How much leash?
Is he?
Yeah. How much leash do you think he has left? And is that the path back to an active roster maybe for D.D. Westbrook, who's been inactive the first 2 weeks?
Tony, if I'm Doug Marone, I'm making him inactive. I mean, look, if you're the head coach and you're talking about, hey, we don't care about where you came from, your draft position, you know, this game is about production. He needs to be inactive in my mind. If D.D. Westbrook is available, because that's essentially what the role is that Chris Clay Brooks has been filling, which is primarily as a returner. Now, occasionally he gets on the field defensively, but look, the Jaguars activated Sidney Jones up to the roster, and they also had the ability to maybe elevate Luke Barco to active status. He was inactive this past game. So I think the reasonable thing to expect this week, if I'm making the call, is Chris Clay Brooks needs to take a step back and then think about, you know, because the reality is he almost gave the Tennessee Titans a ball at point blank range at the 10-yard line because he bobbled a kick. You know, can't have that. Can't have that.
All right, Logs, taking another direction here on the text line designed by Lifetime Enclosures. This person says, we've won the coin toss and deferred twice. With our defense being the weaker of our groups, why aren't we taking the ball and trying to score early to give the defense a little, cushion to begin the game?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not a big believer. Okay, you take the ball and you say, okay, we're going to go. You know, in the past, you know, when the Jaguars were playing really good defense, you know, the opinion was put the defense out there. Totally get it. You know, but here you are after game one, okay, and you ended up beating the Colts, but do you really know that, you know, the offense is the strength? I mean, it's kind of unknown. You know, so week two, you're like, you know, we'll just defer. You know, so I don't put too much into that. Now, if all of a sudden the offense is keeping on trending and look, they're scoring 30 points a week, hell yeah. You know, take the ball. I get it. You know, but I think it's so early, I don't think that there's really any planning to it yet.
Is the offense starting fast? I mean, we know the defense is starting slow, but is the offense starting fast, Jeff?
Well, Tony, I mean, heck, let's go back to this game. And what Gardner Minshew had two near interceptions early in this ballgame. Jayon Brown dropped one in his hands. And then you had the decision of Minshew to throw it into what appeared to be three guys. And holy cow, it was Jonathan Joseph doesn't play the ball right. And that should have been an interception. So, I mean, can you really say, I mean, if the Titans made all the plays early in that ball game, would you say the Jaguars offense started fast? No. You know, so I think they were very fortunate offensively early in that ball game. But then all of a sudden things calmed down and Minshew was really good, really on rhythm, and he made some throws that were tremendous. I mean, tremendous. The throw that he made to Chris Thompson, beautiful throw. But early on, I thought that they were very fortunate with only the one interception.
Logs, this one says, why is it taking the Jaguars 20 years for this team to utilize the tight end efficiently? I'm a huge Tyler Eifert fan. I cannot remember the last time the Jags had almost 90 yards of passing to their tight ends. What do you make of that?
Yeah, I thought that O'Shaughnessy and Eifert were pretty good. And I think what's impressing me about Eifert, I didn't expect him to be as good of a blocker as he's showing me. And, I mean, they're putting him on the line at times when O'Shaughnessy is not on the field and Eifert's battling. I mean, he's battling some big boys now. And I'm talking about he's willing to get dirty. And I didn't see that in Tyler Eifert when he was in Cincinnati. So that's been the most impressive thing for me about Tyler Eifert has been his willingness to block and his effectiveness at blocking. Now, look, there were two plays in that ball game that I wish Tyler Eifert had made. You know, he had the one that was right along the sideline of the end zone, which if he makes it, it's a touchdown catch, and another one early on that he had an opportunity for a big play and was batted away. I mean, you'd like to see, you know, Tyler Eifert make that, and does the Tyler Eifert of 2015 where he had 13 touchdowns in a Pro Bowl, does he make that? Maybe. You know, maybe. But, you know, he's a really good player. I think he's a really solid player. Is he at the level of some of the other great tight ends like the Jonnu Smith? And how about the guy for the Oakland Raiders that we saw last year and then last night? God, he's unbelievable, you know. So I wish the Jaguars had that guy.
And Darren Waller, 12 catches, 100 yards and a touchdown last night. When you're playing against Marshawn Lattimore, why not go to the tight end all night long? Pretty good game plan there. Since we're on the tight end position, this one from Carmel Sr. from the north side. He sent a separate text to make sure we knew who it was from. So, Carmel, thank you for listening. The James O'Shaughnessy interview, he said, was awesome. Does camaraderie in the locker room, Jeff, really translate to the field in a big way? Is what
no doubt. No doubt. No doubt. I mean, it's amazing to me the last few years, and that even though this team had some really high-level players, I mean really high-level players, that it there seemed to be some dysfunction in the locker room. And when you listen to these guys and really listen, they are talking all the time about how good the locker room is, how they have a bunch of guys that are worried about team success and they're not worried about their individual success. I mean, it is really fun for me to listen to these guys talk. And then I'm talking to even the high-end guys like a DJ Chark, who's Pro Bowl caliber type player, to a Josh Allen, all the way to a James O'Shaughnessy. I mean, everybody keeps talking about how they're enjoying this team and it's team first and it's fun to be around. And I mean, that's pretty awesome, you know? And so can it make a big difference by having a locker room that's very united? Absolutely. If you got a bunch of guys that are worried about their own brand and their own numbers, well, we saw that for the last few years. How'd that turn out?
Exactly. All right. Well, Carmel, you got your question answered right there. We thank you for that and everybody else sending them in. Keep them coming on the text line. Several of those were from Designed by Lifetime Enclosures at 641-1010. Hit us up on Twitter as well, at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at Logs56, and at IME2T. Joining the party next, though, is former Jaguar quarterback Mark Brunell, brought to you by Armor Guard Exteriors. We'll go around the table and pepper Brunell with some questions about his observations from week 2 and getting ready to play on Thursday Night Football on a short week. That's coming up next with Tony Smith, Jeff Logman, and ET. I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Jaguars today on 1010XL.
All right, Jaguars today on a Tuesday, we welcome in former quarterback of the Jacksonville Jaguars, presented by Armor Guard Exteriors, Mr. Mark Brunell, back with us here for week two. Brew, it's not as fun necessarily to do it in defeat as it was last week for your debut here on Jaguars today, but pretty exciting game nonetheless this week.
First of all, guys, good morning. Thanks for having me on. You know what? Like, I haven't felt this good after a loss in a long time. I hate losing. I know the Jaguars do. But, hey, listen, man, we went toe-to-toe with a team that has had our number for some time. You know, we had one big goal, shut down Derrick Henry. And for the most part, they did that. So there were some good things. But, unfortunately, we came up a little short.
All right, when you play well and you're competitive, and the Jags have been more competitive than many expected, and I know they're saying internally, you know, that's not necessarily our expectations, Mark, but – can you take something – I'm not saying that you get a moral victory, but can you take something tangible and have it help you out of this loss, you know, when you feel like, you know, you've gone toe-to-toe with a pretty good team in their house?
Yeah, I think you can. I think in every loss there's some – you know, maybe not every loss, but, you know, in most games that you come up short, you could find some good things. But the thing is, if you lose regardless of – you know, the good things that you did, it has to hurt, Mike. I mean, Logs knows that. I mean, if it doesn't hurt after any loss, then you're probably in the wrong business. And it has to hurt significantly. I mean, that's the nature of this game. I mean, you are measured on wins and losses, especially losses that if you just fix a couple plays on special teams or you just, you know, make a better decision on that throw in the first quarter, you know, you win that football game. And the fact that that happened, that has to hurt. So I think every competitor, regardless of any good things that might happen, man, it's got to sting after a loss because you only got 16 opportunities.
What changes for the quarterback when his center goes down during a game?
Well, it depends on the quarterback and center. You know, a guy like Linder that's been around for a while, I imagine Gardner leans on him pretty heavily. He's making the calls at the line, I think probably depending on their system. Together, they're making calls on the same page. You know, at the same, so you know, losing Brandon hurts, but Gardner Minshew has enough stuff on his mind. He's not thinking about, oh crap, Linder's out of the game now. You know, how are we going to just? Gardner just goes out there and plays. You know, and Shatley's done a good enough job, I think, in recent history to prove that he can play that position and hold his own there. I mean, he's not Brandon Linder, but I thought he stepped in and played well. But, listen, you want your best guys in there. It doesn't always happen. But you certainly can't be thinking, you know, during the course of the game, you know, that you know, lineman's out. You keep playing, Tony. You just keep on playing.
Hey, Bruni, Jay Gruden, first year. Yeah. And I think it's impressive that Doug Marone was able to get him because the job was viewed as not that attractive by everybody from the outside looking in. I mean, how impressed are you with his job and what he's done so far in 2 weeks?
Well, it's a great question. I've been impressed. I've got some very close friends, guys that I've worked with before that were in Washington with him. And just speak the world about it. I mean, just can't say enough about his offensive mind and his demeanor, how intelligent he is. And I think what he's done, Logs, is just, you know, he's creative. He's not predictable. I think he understands. We talked about this last week. I think he understands what Gardner Minshew can do well and what he perhaps struggles with at this point. And he's just putting those players in positions to succeed. And now I say all that to say this, Logs, and I know you know this. So many people get hung up on a system, you know, a set of plays, terminology, philosophy, but it's really players before it ever is play. Now there has to be a play caller and he has to call the right play, but I'm going to give Jay Gruden a lot of credit because, you know, he's doing a great job. But to me, it's, it's Gardner Minshew. It's that offensive line. It's James Robinson. It's the young receiver core that's doing really well, obviously. DJ and all those guys. But I've always thought that. It's players before plays, but, man, they've got a good offensive coordinator right now that's putting them in a position to make those plays.
Mark Brunell here with us, presented by Armor Guard Exteriors. Mark, as a quarterback, right, here you go. You get the ball back. You're down three. You got a minute 36 on the clock, no timeouts, right? You, like Minshew, may have run for that first down, 11 yards, right? Then Minshew hits Connolly for nine. So here we go. It's second and one with just under a minute, about 51 seconds left in the game when they snap the ball. And some people are saying, hey, they should have spiked it, settled it down. I contend that I feel like you had Tennessee reeling maybe a little bit right there. How would you have wanted to handle that situation as a quarterback? Did you want to go in the flow of the offense there, or would you rather have spiked it and gotten everybody set up on the same page?
Well, here's the thing. Hindsight, obviously, one of those deals, 2020, of course, and we'd like to have that play back. But I was okay. I was okay with the second and one. I thought about it watching the game. I thought, you know, maybe a spike right now. But when you do that, you know, what do? All right, you spike the ball. You give the defense a chance to regroup. You give the chance for the defense to substitute, make a call, maybe get creative. You just pause for a moment just to let the defense think. Now, you do that for yourself as well, but listen, Gardner was playing really well. They were moving the ball in the second half. I didn't mind the call at all. I say just keep going. You know, you, especially as a quarterback, as an offense, you spike that ball. You know, you just gave a play away. You preserved some clock, but you gave the play, you know, you gave a play away. So I didn't mind it at all, Mike. I thought it was the right decision. It just didn't work out.
Mark, we talked about James Robinson with you last week, making his debut as an undrafted guy. Week two, he was even better this week, Mark.
Yeah, he's and I hope he only gets better. You know, 106 yards, touchdown. You know, that touchdown run. That two guys in position, the safety and the linebacker, to make a tackle. He puts his foot in the ground, cuts. He's so quick. Golly, I mean, he's the biggest surprise on this team this year for me. Probably you guys too. But I'm happy for him. And I'll say, you guys, I don't know if I said this last week, but. And I'm not in the building. I wasn't at practices. You guys hear the conversation, so you know what's going on. So when they got rid of Leonard Fournette, you guys probably weren't that surprised. You probably knew there was something going on. I'm guessing. I wasn't like that. I'm just like any fan in Jacksonville, you know, that was just completely blown away. And I thought, you know, what the heck's going on down there? You know, what are they thinking about getting rid of Leonard Fournette? Well, 2 weeks into the season, it makes sense, right? Doesn't it make sense? I mean, they saw something, and so it gives me a little hope, and it gets me excited about this direction that and the decisions that Dave Caldwell and Doug Marrone are making. So let me put it this way. I feel a lot better about the Jaguars than I did 2 weeks ago, like all of us. So I'm pretty excited. I'm pretty excited about this kid. I'm pretty excited about this team, and it's going to be an interesting year.
All right, Mark, I want to take you back to the quarterback one more time because there were two throws in that ball game that I thought were amazing.
Yeah.
The drop in the bucket throw to Chris Thompson when Clowney's bearing down on him unblocked and he gets rid of it and he puts it on the money.
Yeah.
And then the play in which he finds Keelan Cole in the back of the end zone. And Keelan Cole wasn't even – it was the scramble rules. Keelan Cole wasn't even a guy that was running a route. It was a reaction. I mean, those two plays are amazing on Minshew, and those are things that he can do. And he does so well. What does he not do well right now that you can see?
Well, we're 2 weeks in, and you know it's a great question. And I'll go back to this. I don't think he's completely comfortable in the pocket, but at the same time, you know, I think what is it? 14 games. He started 14 games. He's a runner. You know, that's, you know, he relies on that quite a bit. So I think that's a growth point for Gardner Minshew. Stay in the pocket more. Go through your progression. Find a receiver. Let's not be too quick to get out of there. I think he's better this year, Jeff. I mean, you watch the games and you watch the tape. But I would say that right now. I don't know how much arm strength he has, but clearly he has enough. Perhaps it's, you know, I think on arm strength, you either have it or you don't. I don't think, you know, by lifting weights or, you know, doing exercise, you're going to get a strong arm. But
wait. You mean that you by doing Jerry Palmieri's power cleans, you can't make your arm stronger?
Well, I know one thing. You do Jerry Palmieri's power cleans when you turn 50. When you turn 50 years old, your back is a lot more than it should. I can tell you that right now. But listen, I think, you know, as the weeks go on, Jeff, to your question, it's pretty early to tell, you know, what he doesn't do well, because he's playing lights out, guys. And it's not as much, you know, on the, you know, the throws or the it's what's on the inside that's so impressive. I mean, you go down 14-0, crappy first half, comes out in the second half and just lights it up. Like, kids that play 14 games, you know, they're not supposed to be able to handle, you know, have that grit and that short-term memory. I mean, this guy plays like a 10-year vet, and I'm really excited to see where this goes. But he's making some great plays, and he's so fun to watch, man.
Final minute here with Mark Burnell, brought to you by Armor Guard Exteriors. Mark, what, if anything, are you doing differently in this condensed period of time to get ready for the Dolphins on a short week? And what do you think? What do you expect on Thursday night?
Well, I tell you this. Short weeks, I never had a problem with them. Especially after a loss, guys, you know, you can't get on the field fast enough. All right? You play pretty well. You're just a couple of plays away from winning that football game, so you can't wait for the next game. So, obviously, it's not a real big physical week. You're doing a lot of studying. You're getting out there a little bit. This is my thought on the Dolphins, okay? I know on paper and what we've seen so far, they don't look great. So we're favored by however many, three, whatever it is. It doesn't matter. I think in the NFL, when you play a team, especially on national TV, where their back is against the wall and everyone says they're crap and everyone's saying that the Jaguars are supposed to beat them, you know, in their stadium, I would be concerned about that team. Ryan Fitzpatrick, listen, he's not an elite guy, but Ryan Fitzpatrick will put up 400 yards on you in a second with four touchdowns. You cannot count this guy out. So, most people say, you know, this is an easy one. We're at home, first, you know, game, national TV. This could be a closer game than people think. I'm a little concerned about this one. Not kidding you.
I agree with you. They actually, Miami played a lot better this week, took the fourth quarter lead against the Buffalo Bills. People forget that because the Bills came back and won it, but they were right there with it with the Bills until the end. So we'll see, Brew, what happens on Thursday night. Mark Burnell, brought to you by Armor Guard Exteriors. Man, appreciate having you be a part of the conversation, Mark. Hopefully the Jags will get a victory, and hopefully – all us old guys will be able to remember it next Tuesday. It'll be so far in the rearview mirror, man. But that'd be a good problem to have, buddy. Good talking to you once again. And let's hope the Jags get that second win on Thursday night.
All right, guys. You guys are awesome. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. There he goes. Mark Burnell, longtime Jaguar quarterback, of course, here with us on a Check the Tape Tuesday. We'll come back more with Jeff Lagerman, of course, here on this Tuesday. We've got a pair of East Club seats to give away to the Jags-Dolphins game this Thursday to help celebrate Duval together, courtesy of Mayor Curry and his administration. We'll have those for you a little bit later on in the program as well. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith, Jeff Lagerman, and E.T. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
And now, this date in football history.
McManus in the building. Does he not know what day it is?
I'm not sure.
Tuesday, for goodness sakes. Tommy.
Morning.
Hello. Good
morning. How are you, man?
We're good. We're getting ready for this date.
What am I doing here?
It's just like a reunion. We got Logs on the line.
Oh, nice.
And we just had Burnell on the show. So
T-Mac.
Very good.
Yeah, I'm just over here.
I'm starting a podcast.
He just put his headset on, Jeff. Yeah, go ahead. You can say something to him now if you'd like.
Beautiful. What's T-Mac up, Log?
Did you get a little bicep workout in this morning, Tommy?
You know what? I did a chest and shoulder workout. I did. Yeah, you know, I actually took my two. So I got two big dogs, right? And I walk them, but I've never run them. And I went for a run with them today. It was quite interesting. So I did that, and then did some dumbbells in the garage.
There you go. You're podcasting on the 1010XL platform?
Yeah, kicking it off today. Yeah, just, you know, post-game, pre-game, that kind of stuff. All Jag stuff.
Hey, Tony, man, look, I got something for you.
He's flexing in there for you.
I got something for you.
What you got? Oh, that's not bad,
yeah. Yeah, I tell you what, that's definitely bigger than Lagerman's arm, for sure.
Hey, that's just a Tuesday right there.
Although I know you've been training, Jeff. I see online.
All right, well, good luck with the podcast.
Yeah, thanks, man.
Look forward to checking that out.
Beautiful.
Tom McManus, check him out at 1010XL.com. And
later, fellas. See you Friday.
Wherever you get your podcast. Yeah, you got it.
Go Jags.
We will see you Friday. Hopefully, Victory Friday coming up. All right, here we go. This Dayton football, just a quartet of birthdays to note, including from Raines High School, Harold Carmichael finally has made it to Canton, Ohio. Hasn't been enshrined yet because he just got voted in this year. Went to Southern University, was a seventh-round pick in the 1971 draft by the Philadelphia Eagles, and he spent the first 13 of his 14-year NFL career with Philadelphia, a four-time Pro Bowler, and again, Carmichael inducted, will be inducted into the Hall of Fame, but elected to the Hall of Fame just this year. He's 71 years old. A former teammate of Jeff Loggeman and Tom McManus, Greg Huntington, played six games for the Jags in the 95-96 season. You know him as the Mangler. Huntington, 50 years old today, born on this date in 1970. Derek Cox was born on this date in 1986, so happy 34th to him. A third-round pick by the Jags in 2009. 12 interceptions in four seasons in Jacksonville, and that still ranks fourth all-time for the Jags. The other guys with double digits, Rasheen Mathis has 30, Aaron Beasley with 15, Donovan Darius with 14, and Paul Posluszny with 11. And then finally, Denard Robinson turns 30 years old today. My goodness, a fifth-round pick by the Jags in 2013. Shuley scored five touchdowns in 55 career games in his four-year career here in Jacksonville, and now is an offensive quality control coach for the Jacksonville Jaguars. So there you have it, this date in football history.
Now, gems around the NFL. Brought to you by Beaches Jewelry and Pawn in Jack's Beach.
The NFL has levied $1 million in fines, and there could be more on the way for coaches on the sidelines and staffs from the NFL, from a handful of teams that have decided to just ignore the mask mandate from the NFL and the memo that they sent out after week one. San Francisco's Nick Bosa has a torn ACL. He will miss the rest of the year. San Francisco's Solomon Thomas has a torn ACL. He will miss the rest of the year. New York Giants running back Saquon Barkley has a torn ACL. He will miss the rest of the year. Denver wide receiver Cortland Sutton has a torn ACL. He will miss the rest of the year. Seattle linebacker Bruce Irvin has a torn ACL. He will miss the rest of the year. Minnesota linebacker Anthony Barr has a torn pectoral muscle. He will miss the rest of the year. Indianapolis safety Malik Hooker has a torn Achilles. He will miss the rest of the year. San Francisco quarterback Jimmy Garoppolo dealing with a high ankle sprain that has him listed as day-to-day.
Might play this week.
Reports are that he's at least going to try to play this week. 49ers running backs Tevin Coleman, Raheem Mostert, both expected to miss multiple weeks with injuries. Carolina running back Christian McCaffrey suffered an ankle injury on Sunday, expected to be out 4 to 6 weeks for the Panthers. Indianapolis wide receiver Paris Campbell suffered a MCL injury on Sunday that leaves him with a very low percentage chance of returning this season, they say. Denver Broncos quarterback Drew Locke expected to be out 3 to 5 weeks with a shoulder injury. So the boat sails again. Blake Bortles has been signed after visiting with the Denver Broncos.
We take the
today.
Colorado River. I don't know the geography all that well. Do you take the Colorado River to get there to Denver?
Not
the
sure. Boat?
It is not otherwise sure. A landlocked city. There you go. Thank you, Tony. That's your gems from around the National Football League. Logs. A devastating week of injuries in the National Football League. Like, I mean, it's a brutal sport. We know that. And every year, I think we say the same thing. Man, are there more ACLs this year than any other year? It did seem like maybe it's just because there are such high-profile guys. It just seemed like this was one of the worst weekends we've seen.
Yeah, and it all happens kind of in 1 week. You're like, whoa. Yeah, but it's never good for the league when you lose that much star power in the matter of 1 weekend. And like, I hope all those guys, I wish them all the best. I've been through it. ACL reconstructions are no fun. They're a long, lengthy rehab. But, man, with the advancements in modern medicine, you've got guys that make it all good in a matter of a year, and you're back playing again.
All right, Logs, let's get back to the Q&A on this Check the Tape Tuesday. You can continue to submit your questions for Jeff Loggeman on the text line, on Twitter, or on the phone lines here. Jeff, just had it right in front of me here. Here we go. This one. All right, this team's a little bit more competitive maybe than some expected to. This is from Eric in Southern Virginia. In your opinion, should and I'm gonna maybe tweak his question a little bit and say consider. Should Dave Caldwell consider buying some veteran talent with all the draft capital that they have stocked up? It seems like we have enough good youth. We need some veteran leaders on this football team to round things out. How do you feel about that?
As far as this year, I think that'd be hard to do. I mean, you got to have a willing partner, and I think rarely do you get in return the value of what you're giving up as far as draft capital, just because you're gaining somebody that's not familiar with the system and it's going to take some time to get them up to speed. So, I think there's every now.
I dropped out again for a second there. Every now and then something happens, but we'll get Jeff back here momentarily on that. Yeah, we got him back. Go ahead, Logs. You just popped for a second. Go ahead.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, so the main thing that I would say, though, Mike, is that I think at some point you have to consider doing something with all those draft picks, because the reality is next year, like for example, how many draft picks do they have next year? I mean, I don't even know the exact number.
They got two in the first, two in the second, two in the fourth, I believe.
Okay.
And I think they have most of their original contingent. Maybe they dealt one of
10 plus, right?
Yeah, something in that ballpark, sure.
All right. Do you think that 10 plus are going to have the ability to make this team next year?
No, but you can you can package them. You know, and
right.
And
that's my point. My point is exactly what you're thinking is that, okay, look, you got to start thinking about what can we do with these draft picks, because we're probably not going to be able to say, okay, like next year you got 12 draft picks. Well, let's say if you have 12, you're not going to have 12 draft picks make the team along with four undrafted guys. I mean, you just can't have that happen. So you got to start thinking about consolidating some draft picks and either moving up or taking some of those draft picks and bunching them together to sign a guy that, you know, you feel really good about. So do you consider maybe trying to get a guy this year? Sure. Sure. But it's got to be the right deal. And I think the circumstances of having all those draft picks will allow you the flexibility to do some of those creative things.
Even if I'm talking about it, it seems like it's probably unlikely, because it's just unlikely to figure out the logistics of making a trade for a player during the season, Jeff. But if they were going to address a position on this football team, where would you like to see them focus that attention?
Interior pass rusher, defensive tackle. I mean, I think that's a glaring weakness on this football team right now. And it's if they can find a way to upgrade that position, I would absolutely do it. Now, I think offensively, I think you're pretty well set. But defensively, if you can find a way to upgrade that interior of your defense, whether that be, you know, nose tackle, defensive tackle, a pass rusher on the inside, you take it.
All right, Jeff Logman here with us to Check the Tape Tuesday. We will take our final timeout, Log, so hang in there. We'll pepper you with some more questions coming up on the other side. We'll also give away a pair of tickets to this Thursday night's game in the East Club between the Jaguars and the Miami Dolphins as we celebrate Duval together. And this is courtesy of Mayor Curry's administration providing those tickets for you, your opportunity to score those coming up on the other side. Mike Dempsey, Jeff Loggeman, E.T., Tony Smith, we're all here. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Tannehill drops the throw. Now the Jags blitz this time, and they're going to get him. Kalavon Chaisson got him. The rookie got there first on the blitz, and they're going to sack him all the way back near the 40-yard line.
This is Jaguars Today on 1010XL.
All right, not as many Jaguar tickets in circulation, obviously, with COVID-19 restrictions, but this one on Thursday night should be in great demand. So to continue with the Jags theme of Duval together, Mayor Lenny Curry and his administration have provided us some tickets to give away to some Jaguar fans out there. These are East Club seats to this Thursday night's game. So if you're calling right now, hang up on that person who's calling, E, because they're trying to jump the gun, okay? E.T., when you get on the line and I tell you what caller, actually, let them ring until I'm done and then hang up on them, okay? Because we have not told anyone to call. But when I tell, right. You know what? Let's do this. We'll wait. We're going to wait. We're just going to wait, okay? Want to jump the gun? They got to try to jump the gun? We'll wait. We're going to, you know what? All these people, let them ring till their heart's content, E. We'll deal with this coming up in a few minutes. Jeff Loggeman back with us here on 1010XL. Nobody wants to follow directions anymore, Jeff. What would Tom Coughlin have said to you if you had started
That'd be a finable offense.
Right. Well, although he might have wanted you to call 5 minutes early just to be on time, right? So
you're probably right.
Logs, what do you think? Mark Brunell is kind of like, hey, you know, we could beat the Dolphins, but don't take this team lightly. What do you expect out of Miami on Thursday night?
Yeah, I mean, I think Mark is right in that, you know, in fact, I think we were talking about the Buffalo game, the broadcast, and we're like, you know, oh, the Buffalo Bills got that game wrapped up. And the next thing you know, all of a sudden Miami's back in it. You know, I worry about Fitzpatrick getting hot. I mean, when he gets hot, all of a sudden, you know, the Fitz magic and all that kind of stuff starts getting talked about. And we know he's capable of doing that. And when he's on a roll, I don't know if there's anybody that's better about being on a roll than him. You know, so I don't know. Does he have the weapons around him where he can get on that roll like he did before in other places? You know, it's a pretty young football team. You know, so I don't know. But I know this. I got a lot of respect for Brian Flores, head coach in Miami. I think he's doing things the right way, and I think it's going to be a patient build. And he's got a football team that last year nobody would have thought they won the amount of games that they did. So they even surprised some people last week or last year, and hopefully they don't surprise the Jaguars team on Thursday night.
I know Bucky Brooks in the post game with us on Sunday talked about Miami being a defense that likes to run a lot of man, runs it, I think he said 55-60% of the time, whatever the number is, a pretty high number for NFL defenses. How do you think the Jaguars potentially match up against that Miami unit?
Yeah, he runs very similar to what Belichick does, Tony. I mean, a lot of man. That's his roots, and that's what Belichick likes to do. And he's got some good defensive backs that they feel pretty good about, you know. And Howard's a pretty good player. Byron Jones is a pretty good player, you know. So do they match up? Sure, they match up. But I think the Jaguars also feel really good about DJ Chark if they can get him one on one, you know. Then okay, if you're Miami. And I think the one problem that the Jaguars offense creates, it's not that they have like Julio Jones or, you know, this great DeAndre Hopkins. But, okay, if you put your best guy on DJ Chark and all of a sudden now they have Laviska Shenault, I mean, who you put on Laviska Shenault that can handle his physical attributes? You know, what about Chris Conley? He's a big physical guy, even though he doesn't get credit for being a physical guy. I mean, he's 6'3", almost 210. Keelan Cole's been having about as good of a camp as anybody. So, I mean, I don't think it's ever a matchup issue with the Jaguars wide receiving group from receiver 1A, but then all of a sudden, hey, it's the receiver 2, receiver 3, receiver 4. I think that's where the Jaguars can get you, and I think Jay Gruden does a good job of making sure that the offense is not all about receiver 1. It's about receiver 1 through 4 on game day.
Yeah, by the way, Byron Jones banged up this weekend, and I believe Flores said he's going to have to heal really quickly to have a chance to play on Thursday night.
Yeah.
So it sounds like he's trending towards not being available for the Miami Dolphins, which would be big, obviously, if one of their starters is out in the secondary. All right, the lines are cleared. We'll take caller 4 right now at 641-1010 if you want to try and win those tickets to the game on Thursday night in the East Club. But here's the thing. You can't just be caller 4. E's got a question for you, a very specific Jaguars question. And we're not going to give it out on the air. He's going to ask it to you when you get on the phone because I don't want people to have the ability to look it up ahead of time and get in and answer it that way. So right now at 641-1010, we'll take the fourth caller, beginning with the fourth caller. If they get it right, boom, that'll be the end of it. And if not, we'll move on to the next caller and the next until we get somebody who gets the question right. And these tickets are courtesy of Mayor Lenny Curry and his administration to celebrate Duval together. So, Logs, what's the game plan for you? How are you coming out on Thursday night to best take advantage of what the Jags can do against this Miami Dolphins team?
I think you got it. Here's the thing on a short week. I mean, you're putting in essentially what you have been running. So it's going to be, I think, a meat and potatoes type game plan. But when I say meat and potatoes game plan, I'm sure there are some things that you had in your playbook in week 1 and week 2.
He'll be back in a second. Don't worry. I have total confidence at Logs. Logs may be trying to win a pair of East Club tickets right now.
Maybe.
As we speak.
Maybe. They are limited.
Yeah, they are. We'll get him back up here in a second. We got him? All right. Go ahead, Logs. Finish your thought, please.
No, I'm just saying that, you know, it's going to be a meat and potatoes type of game plan, and you're going to be sticking kind of with what you had the first 2 weeks. And I think there's some things that we haven't seen in the first 2 weeks because maybe offensively you didn't get the defensive looks to be able to use those plays. So, you know, I mean, the one thing you don't want to do, you can't all of a sudden, essentially, with a couple days and jog through practices, all of a sudden install this extravagant game plan. You know, you have to be able to be relying upon the foundation of the principles of your offense and your defense. And I think that, you know, you also, in that situation, if you have a really good play caller, whether it be on the defensive side of the ball or the offensive side of the ball, that can find a rhythm with those meat and potatoes, then I think you have an advantage. And I think right now the Jaguars really have a good flow going offensively. I think Jay Gruden feels like that he's got a really good flow. And, you know, I feel good about the Jaguars' chances against the Miami Dolphins. But it's going to be a football game. I mean, that's why they line up and play. I mean, the Colts were probably thinking that they were going to walk into Jacksonville with a team that was picked to be 32nd among all teams in the National Football League, and we're going to walk all over the Jaguars in Jacksonville. Didn't happen. So the Jaguars, if they start thinking about, okay, well, we can beat the Miami Dolphins, you know, no problem. I don't think they think that way, though. I think this is a young football team that does a really good job of listening to their coach and his directives, and I think they're going to be ready to play.
I know the answer to, do you like the way they're using Laviska Shenault to this point? Because I think we all do. Do you think they need to be doing even more to get the ball in his hands?
Well, I think there were some opportunities for him to get the ball, and the quarterback chose to go in different directions, and it worked out okay. So, but there were a couple instances where Minshew ended up squeezing the ball into somebody else, and he actually had Laviska wide open as an alternative throw that probably, if I was playing quarterback and you look at the all 22 on film, you go, well, I'm throwing it to Laviska right here because he's wide open. I'm not going to try to squeeze it in over here. You know, so, I mean, I think there's opportunities. You know, the one thing I think also has to happen is that there's got to be a comfort level, because in training camp, I never really saw a comfort level. I mean, you could see some of the makings of a comfort level, but you never felt like Minshew had a full trust in Laviska Shenault. It was almost as if, yeah, he threw it to him every now and again, but because Laviska's a big physical guy, he didn't get a lot of separation when there's not a lot of plays that are essentially drawn up for him. It takes a little bit of time to get comfort with him, and I think that that comfort is starting to progress, and I think the more that they play together, the better that they're going to be together. You know, but right now, Gardner, and as he should, sometimes looks in the direction of Keelan Cole maybe a little bit more. Sometimes he looks in the direction of DJ Chark a little bit more, or Conley, you know, and it's understood because he's got a level of trust with those guys that he's still working on developing with Laviska.
A couple more here that we didn't get to on Twitter, Jeff. This one from Bill, and see if you saw the same thing on the film. He asked, why were wide receivers running routes within 2 to 3 yards of each other a handful of times on Sunday? Did you notice that as an issue?
No, I didn't see that. I mean, I think if certain situations evolve to where you have scramble rules. You know, the one thing about Gardner Minshew, he has a tendency to leave the pocket early, which Mark was talking about there. And Jay Gruden talked about that last week a little bit, where he has a tendency to maybe abort the play a little bit too soon. Now, look, when the quarterback aborts the play, yeah, you might see wide receivers that end up close together. But I don't see routes that are together when Minshew is in the pocket and the play is on time. Maybe that happens when it's scramble rules, you know, but that's just natural. Some guys are going this way and some are going that way, and sometimes they end up crossing paths with each other. So, but yeah, I don't see that.
All right. This one asks from Bob on Twitter, where's DeJuan Smoot? Haven't heard his name mentioned in 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. I mean, he's playing and he's gotten opportunities. You know, that's why it kind of goes back to, you know, and he's been getting snaps at defensive end. He's been getting snaps as defensive tackle and pass rush. So when I was asked the question, hey, look, if you could upgrade the Jaguars somewhere on this football team, where would it be? And I said it would be a defensive tackle or interior pass rusher. And that's the reason why. And that Smoot right now seems to be the guy that's given them up quite a bit, or as best as he can, Taven Bryan, I thought, was a little bit even better than Smoot as an interior pass rusher. But, I mean, neither one of them are good enough yet. I mean, you got to have more. And if you can get more inside, then I think it makes it a lot easier for the guys on the outside and vice versa. But, yeah, it's Smoot's got to be better. Taven Bryan's got to be better. Adam Gotsis has got to be better. You know, Avery Jones is still a nose tackle, and you don't expect a whole lot of pass rush out of him. But, you know, I was kind of expecting a little bit more pass rush out of a Devon Hamilton, you know, third-round pick. You'd like to think him rush the passer a little bit more, but he hasn't shown to be able to do that either. So, I mean, that's just an area that, you know, is a little delinquent for this football team, and I don't think it's going to change as the season progresses. A lot of times you say, okay, well, we got this guy, and he's going to develop, and we'll be okay. I mean, I think right now for the Jaguars, I think that's an area, like I said earlier, in that you're going to have to kind of trick it up in pass rush, because I think you're just lacking a little bit of talent in that interior of your defensive front.
I know Tony's got another one for you here, but I want to give away our trivia question, see how quickly you can get this one, Jeff. Somebody has finally gotten it, okay, for the tickets. Being that this is Duval together and we're celebrating Jacksonville, right, we asked, I had E.T. ask our callers to name three players who played for the Jaguars whose last name starts with the letters J-A-C-K. That can include the current roster. So Jack, Jackson, something like that. Go off the top of your head, how quick do you got it?
Well, Miles Jack, right?
Of course, that's one.
Shoot, I don't know.
It's
Jackson,
when you're
right?
On the spot, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Malik,
that's a good one. That's Jackson. A great question. Yeah, Malik Jackson,
and,
yeah.
And Willie Jackson would be
Willie,
the,
yeah.
The, but they Chevis Jackson, Jarrell Jackson, Lindsey Jackson, and Grady Jackson were all here for brief stints with the Jaguars as well.
So, I don't remember. I remember Grady, but the three guys before him, I don't even remember.
Yeah, that's why we only asked for three.
Yeah, we only asked for the three.
We thought
somebody
get Malik, Willie, and Miles, and I'm guessing that's the three that they got.
Jeff, we have seen under Gus Bradley especially, this has been a Jaguars team that's been willing to break out the trick play on Thursday Night Football when they get the once-a-year showcase on it. So what I'm asking is, can we see Laviska Shenault throw a pass on Thursday night?
Might. Yeah, I mean, you might. I mean, it's look, we've been told that Laviska has a special skill set, that he can run it, that he can throw it and catch it. I mean, we've seen the catching part, the running part, and well, look, we're believers, right, in those two areas, but we haven't had anything to believe in that he can throw it. So, yeah, I think at some point we might see that. Or does the guy have an absolute terrible arm and they're saying that just to make opposing defensive coordinators prepare for him?
You never know. You know,
you don't. Yeah, look, he might suck at throwing the football.
The opportunity is gone now because he just signed with Denver, but we could have brought the boat in. We could have had Blake play tight end, and it would have been one play, Biska to Blake for the touchdown. Would have been the greatest.
Hey, look, you know what? I'm happy for Blake. He's a good dude, and I wish him nothing but the best. He's not a great quarterback or anything of that, but, man, you talk about a good guy. And, you know, after covering him for all those years, he was always great. You come up and ask him a question, and he would never shy away. He would never shy away from anything. Just a good guy.
All right, Jeff, we are wrapping it up here, and on a short week, where will folks be able to catch you over the next 2 days or so?
Well, we got two shows on Wednesday night, so Jags Wired and breaking down the film in that show. We'll be looking at that third down stop and then also the Chris Thompson touchdown. And then Thursday night, Jaguars All Access. Me and Brent Martineau and Josh Allen, I'm not sure if we're going to have him or not because it's the night before a game. But we'll be breaking down some film in the game and the matchup on Thursday night. And then Thursday for the broadcast of the game, with Frank and Tony and Joe and Kush in the booth upstairs. And then Saturday morning, I'll be joining the boys with the outdoor show.
All right, there you go. Logs, enjoy the gun room. Logs, cabin, whatever. We'll go with that for now. And we will see you on Thursday night. Look forward to catching up on next week's Check the Tape Tuesday, hopefully looking back at a Jaguar W.
All right, Tony, Mike, and y'all have a good one.
All right, buddy. There he goes, Jeff. Log him in out the door. Let's welcome in XL Primetime.
Now, the 2-Minute Drill, delivered by Moe's Southwest Grill.
Welcome to Moe's!
Hungry? Try Moe's all-new Grande Homewrecker Burrito. Double the size and ingredients of our classic homewrecker. Get it before it's gone.
All right, Hacker is here with us. Hacker comes in yesterday. I don't know what I'm going to do. Down 29 points. I have like half the players playing in Monday Night Football, but I'm down 29 points. It's going to be a long night. Is Alvin Kamara, Darren Waller, and we play in leagues where you use defensive players. He had DeMario Davis as well. Did I tell you not to worry, Hacker?
I ended up winning by 45.
Yeah, I didn't think you had much of a concern with Michael Thomas
and Darren Waller?
Well, I had Alvin Kamara and Darren Waller, and they both went nuts.
There you go. So it was an easy night for you. I think they got it to Kamara early and often, and the same with Waller. What do you guys have coming up on the show, man?
Yeah, obviously, Mike, a lot of Jaguar talk later in the week, probably beginning tomorrow with the game on Thursday. So we don't want to not talk about Florida State Miami. That's certainly a big one. So we got two pretty good guest today, Florida State-wise, Marvin Jones, he is one of the best linebackers to ever play at Florida State. Shade Tree is going to join us in the 12 o'clock hour. And then Mark Richt of the ACC Network, obviously formerly the head coach of Miami and the OC of Florida State. He's going to join us at 2 o'clock as we really look at the Noles and the Canes. And then former Dallas Cowboy head coach Dave Campo later on in the 2 o'clock hour as we get back into the NFL.
All right, Hack, have fun. Sounds like a loaded show, bud.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. XL Primetime coming up next. Hacker, Joe C., Matt Hayes, and Big Cirs coming your way for the next 3 hours.
Can't wait!
That will do it for us today. Tony Smith, any final parting thoughts?
No.
All right. I had Lindsey Jackson in my back pocket. I had that. I did not. That was a good one, though. How many callers would you say it took, E, before you...
Probably about 14.
Really?
Yeah, it was a lot.
Yeah.
And a lot of people were saying Jackson DeVille.
Nope. I don't believe he plays for the Jaguars, so never been on the roster. But good try, nonetheless. So there you go. Ultimately, was it Miles Jack, Malik Jackson, Willie Jackson?
Those were the three.
Yeah, those are. Uh-huh. Yeah, that's why we thought about doing four, but nah. he would still be answering phones right now, I have a feeling. All right, out there. So whoever won those, who won the tickets? By first name only, please.
Mr. David.
David, congratulations. He'll be in the East Club, courtesy of the Curry administration, to celebrate Duval together. More tickets later on this week for the motocross out there at WW Ranch. So that'll do it for us today. Thanks to Jeff Logman, of course, on a Check the Tape Tuesday. Mark Burnell brought to you by Armor Guard Exteriors. For Tony Smith and ET, I'm Mike Dempsey. We'll be back with Johnny O tomorrow as Jaguars Today moves closer to game day here on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Yo, Jacksonville. Start taking care of y'all mantles, y'all bodies, and y'all chicken.